Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
In the book of Luke, chapter 18 and verse 35, when you find it, shout hallelujah. The word of God says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Look at verse 39. And they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. In other words, be quiet, settle down. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? In other words, what is the need? Why do you want me? What do you want from me? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I want to talk to you just for a few moments of a message that we've entitled Expectations. Expectations. Anybody expecting God to do something in your life? We're going to talk about this today, and I pray that this message will stir you up and prepare you for what God is going to do. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for this day. We pray that this word will go forth in power and in demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Lord, we just pray for healing and strength and just your mercy and grace today in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of God's word. I want to begin this first segment this morning. I'm going to ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life that you received an unexpected blessing? Has there ever been a time that you just out of the blue, you weren't expecting? I'm not talking about something that you generated, something that perhaps you just wrote it down and it was a wish or it was a hope. No, this is something that just comes completely out of nowhere, and it just received an unexpected blessing. Anybody ever have that happen before in your life? I want that to happen in my life. How about you? I want the blessings of the Lord. The word tells us that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. That's in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. And that's what I desire. Not that I'm seeking the blessings, but I would like for God at times in my life just to bless, just to show us his presence and his power. I look at this story, and I find that something is happening here. Something that's taking place that we have missed. There's something that's going on in Jericho that we have read way too fast. Because when we look at this story, and it says that Jesus was coming near to Jericho. So he was just right on the outskirts, but he was at Jericho. That there's something that was going on and that we missed that was happening here. And I want to unfold that. I want to unpack that for you today. When you think of Jericho, what do you think of? Now, I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about the security people, because security people, we'll talk about that later. But what do you think of? You think of, my wife said it, you think of the wall. When you hear the name of Jericho, you think of the walls of Jericho. You think of how God instructed these Hebrews at the time to march around the city walls. And when they did, they began that seventh time with a shout and a praise. And what happened? The walls fell flat. God gave them that city because of that proof. And that was so amazing. And here's three truths about Jericho. Number one, we see that it was before Jericho. Everybody say before Jericho. Before Jericho that the Good Samaritan rescued the injured. It's in your Bible. It was after Jericho. Someone say after Jericho. After Jericho, Achan kept what didn't belong to him. Remember the story of Achan. He was Achan for a breaking, right? He stole what did not belong to the Jews at the time. And then number three, but it was at Jericho where the walls came down. Those are important things that took place, because now we're reading of something interesting here. There was a time, do you realize that there was a time that the people of God rallied together in praise, rallied together in unity, that the people came together in one mind and one accord, that they rallied together and they praised God. There was a time that when people would come together, that the walls would fall flat. Do you remember the times when the corporate anointing fell in the house of God and people began to give God a praise and give God a shout, and you stood on the scripture where it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you remember those days when you got together at the church and you began to praise God and lift up, and it just wasn't you, it was other people with you, and you just lifted up your hands, and the moment you began to praise God, the power of God began to fall in a sanctuary. Do I have any witnesses in here can say, I remember those days, Pastor JC, when I would come into the house of God and the praise was already there, and all I had to do is lift up holy hands and God's presence began to shake the very foundation. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Can somebody shout praise the Lord? There was a time when the people rallied together in praise and the walls fell flat. But now, look what I'm reading. The people of God are at Jericho, and now they want this blind beggar to be silent. We're too dignified to make any kind. Listen, I was raised Baptist. Nothing wrong with being Baptist. There was a season in my life that I was Babtecostal. But I don't know what happened. But I will say this. I see that there's importance here in true praise of God. People say, well, it's sensationalism. Sure, there's sensationalism in it. People say, well, you're emotional. Sure, God created us with emotions. He created us in his image. And sure, we have emotions. And it's amazing that we can get in front of the television and we can cheer on the Colorado Buffaloes. We can cheer on Hunter and cheer on all those players and Sanders and everybody and say, oh, run the ball, throw the ball, he's holding. And we can scream at the TV, but when we come to church, we're quiet. Have you ever been thrown, don't raise your hand, but have you ever been thrown out of a ball game because you was yelling at your kid, shoot the ball, Crystal? Have you ever been yelling at your kid and he's on the football field and say, you got to do this, and you've been thrown out of the game? I wonder, has there ever been in the history of Gospel Lighthouse Church that somebody got thrown out of church for giving God way too much praise? Oh, they tell me it happens in the church down the road, but if you're going to throw me out of church, I'm going to be praising God on my way out. Why? Because he has done so much for me, I can't tell it all. The people of God, they want the blind beggar to be silent. What's happening here? I want you to see what's happening. Pay close attention. This is what's happening. People today are choosing performance rather than praise. People today are choosing the performance rather than authentic, genuine praise. My, oh my. Well, unfortunately, the hearts of many believers today are polluted with low expectations, meaning they don't believe God. They don't believe in his word anymore. When they're coming to the house of God, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But I've noticed today, people aren't glad anymore. People find that coming to the house of God is nothing but a duty. It's just a responsibility to them. That's why there are so many people out of the house of God. Am I preaching this morning? Because if it's important to you, you will find a way. If not, you will find an excuse. Boy, this is good. Well, this is the thing. The difference between praise and performance is the posture of your heart. That's the bottom line. That's the truth. That why is there such low expectations in the church? What has happened here? Where's this gone wrong? Where can we backtrack? You know, Jeremiah says, seek out the old paths. Seek out the old ways. Where is it? Can we go back somewhere, backtrack, reverse? Is there any way we can take the mouse of our life and take the mouse pointer and just backtrack the video of our life and say, where was it that I've been missing it? Because I don't want to go through life suppressing other people's praise. I don't want to go through life with such a religious demeanor in my life that I'm saying, oh, no, you got to be quiet. I don't want to be like those people that day, suppressing the blind, where he's calling out to Jesus. Because I know in Blytheville, I know in Lily Street, and in Vine Street, and Sycamore Street, and Lake Street, and Holly Street, I know in this city, there are people who are spiritually blind, and they're crying out for Jesus, thou Son of David, open my eyes so I can see. I don't want to be in the way. I don't want to deter them from their destiny. So why is there such low expectations in the church? Follow me, if you will, in the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 1. Look what it says here, because I believe this is going to reveal to us, uncover for us the truth of what God is trying to tell us. He says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Why is there so much strife in the church? He says, come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? He says in verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Ye ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers, well, this is a strong word. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Boy, that is some tough stuff right there. I can see you right now. Boy, that's some tough word. I'm not coming back next time. He gonna preach like that? That's just too, listen, I didn't write this. Hello? This is God's word. I believe the reason, stay with me here, because we're going somewhere with this. I believe the reason there are so low expectations, why people are not happy and joyful and glad when you talk about the things of God, I really believe it comes down to one word. How many is ready for this one word? If you're ready for this one word, say, I'm ready. It's this one word called covetousness. Do you realize that covetousness is such a poison in the body of Christ? Covetousness, by definition, is this. It is an ungoverned and selfish desire that threatens the basic right of others. Pastor Jamie texted me on Friday, and she told me exactly. It's called greed. Look at your neighbor and say, are you greedy? You be at the restaurant, you order more wings, you're greedy. You order not one Big Mac, but two Big Macs, because you're greedy. Amen? Come on now, hang with me here. I want to show you something, what has happened. And some of you, you will understand this. Some of you, this will be brand new to you. But I want to show you what has happened in the last 3 or 4 decades. We have burned ourselves, the church. Now, the unfortunate thing about this is that now our children are carrying the burden. We've been carrying the burden. Now our children are having to carry this burden. But this is what has happened. We have burdened ourselves with a name it, claim it mentality, and now we're paying for everything. We went from praying to paying. I was riding with this preacher one day, and he hadn't got his driver's license yet. And we're riding in the streets of Blyvall as a youth pastor, and he just looked over. He saw this black, beautiful Escalade. It had what they called Twinkies back then on it. It was all decked out. It was showroom shine every time. And you know what I heard him say out of his mouth? He said, "Thank you, Lord, it's mine." And I looked at him and I said, "Wait a minute, you don't even have a driver's license." He says, "So?" He said, "Well." I'm like, what is wrong with the generation today that we want to name it and we want to claim it? We want to pray for it, but then while we're paying for it, it's called greed. Now, before you tune me out, I'm going to take you somewhere with this. Covetousness goes beyond having the latest iPhone. Covetousness goes beyond wearing the latest Air Jordans. You guys aren't with me. Covetousness goes beyond driving the newest car. Thank you, Pastor Carl. Give Pastor Carl a good hand clap. At least he's preaching with me. I want to share something with you. Is Linda Merrick, she's not here? Okay, I want to share this because she and I, we watch the same pastor. I was listening to Pastor Tommy Bates, who's a friend of mine, and a few weeks ago, and he shared a testimony of a young man. I found this testimony perfect. It was fitting for this message. This young man, this has been years ago, this young man lived in a shack up in the hills of Kentucky. That's where he was born, up in the hills of Kentucky. In fact, this young man was raised with 12 brothers and sisters. I mean, he was poor, 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 so poor he had to go to KFC to lick other people's fingers. I mean, that's how poor this guy was. He was so poor, and he had got his heart broken. He had, I don't know if it, what was going on, if it was a relationship or whatever. He didn't go into detail about it, but this young man, he had backslid on God. He said, "Okay, I'm done with God. I'm done with church." He just gave up on God, and he ended up getting on drugs. He got on alcohol. This young man got to the point where he was eating out of garbage cans, eating out of trash cans. The man, of course, he gave us life back to God, and he's trying to get back on track, and he would stand up in church, and he would share his testimony, how God brought him out of the drugs, how God brought him out of the alcoholism, all the poverty and the things that were going on in his life. And when he would give that testimony, people in the congregation, just like you in the congregation, people would just sit and they would cry. And they'd cry for him and they'd feel heartbroken for him. And so what happened was Pastor Tommy then heard about this man, heard his testimony. He took him in. That's what I love about Pastor Tommy Bates. He takes in young men. He took him in. He helped him get a job, helped him get his life right. And eventually this young man stuck with it. He got a good job. He got a good salary. He was making a lot of money. And then one day, this same young man, the man, he got up and he told the people his testimony. And then he told them that he just bought a new house. Wow. Went from the eating a garbage can, now he bought a new house. But then it was Pastor Tommy gave him some advice. We're talking about covetousness here. Pastor Tommy Bates said these words. He said, "I'm going to warn you, buddy. They will cry with you, but very few people will rejoice with you. People don't mind you eating out of a garbage can. They'll weep, they'll cry, they'll boo-hoo, they'll cry. But when you get that new house and they don't have one, you'll find out just how many people is really happy." Is that what's going on in our world today? Is that what covetousness is? is that's what's happening today. People are getting blessed. They're getting new cars. They're getting new homes. They're getting in new relationships. And the church is warring against one another, just like James said. They're warring against one another. Covetousness, my friend, it goes beyond having things. Listen, it's okay to have nice things, but when those nice things have you, there becomes a problem. It's okay to have money, but when money has you, that's where the problem begins to take place. It's okay to have a nice phone, the newest iPhone 16 Pro. It's okay to have that, but when that new iPhone 16 Pro has you, and all you're doing is taking pictures of yourself and scrolling up and down on TikTok and spending the majority of your energy and days on that phone and not talking to your kids, not talking to your spouse, not talking to God, then there's a problem. Something's went wrong. The Bible is right. The Bible is right, but man is wrong. We need to get back to the truth of God's word and say, God, you're first and foremost in my life. Glory to God. Listen to 1 Corinthians here. Chapter 6, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. There it is. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. When the Apostle Paul wrote this to Corinth, Corinth was a very wicked city. Corinth was a seaport city full of wickedness. Bible historians suggest that Corinth, the small little area where the Apostle Paul built a church, Brother John, that in that vicinity where that church was built, there were 1,000 prostitutes around that small church. And then you begin to read Corinthians and you understand the mess that the Corinthians were in. But God can take you out of a mess that you find yourselves in and bring you to the miracles that He has for you. But He's looking for somebody that's going to say, I will not silence the blind man anymore. I'm going to praise. We're almost with Jericho, and I'm not thinking about the blind man and being quiet. I'm thinking about how the walls fell down. And if we want to see revival and growth and maturation at Gospel Lighthouse Church, we've got to put our praise on. We've got to say, okay, I'm not going to play the game anymore, but I'm coming today to give God the praise, because God inhabits the praises of His people. Can somebody shout hallelujah? So why is there low expectations in a church? Why is it? Here it is. Because a church is asking amiss. James 4:3 said, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. See, this is the bottom line. Bottom line is, we want God to perform things without ever giving God the praise for what He already has done. I came out of we're talking about where we came out of a place. Listen, I came out of some rough places in my life. And I think about how God has brought me out of that. But I'm just so grateful today. Whether I have a nice house, a new car or not, I'm giving Him the praise. I'm giving Him the glory. This is my life point. The difference between praise and performance is the posture of your heart. The difference between praise and performance is the posture of your heart. Enter 2025 with a heart that is fixed on God, not a heart that is consuming the things of this world. Not the creation, but the Creator. All this man wanted to do in this story, all this blind man, all he wanted, he wasn't looking for a new house. He wasn't looking for the latest iPhone. He wasn't looking for new Jordans. He wasn't looking for all these things. All this man wanted was to see. All this man wanted was to see. Can you imagine that being your one Christmas wish for that present, that day, to open your eyes and see? There are people today, all they want is healing. All people want today is a friend, someone to listen to them. All people want today is health, good health. All this man wanted to do was to see. My prayer for Gospel Lighthouse Church, my prayer for you this year, coming year, is I want you to see. I want you to truly see. See. When these children come in on Wednesday night, you should be here to see. I want some. Listen, I love this because I can see people saying this. I heard someone say this. They said, as I grow older, I care less and less what people think about me and more what God thinks about me. They say, I expect to be with Him much longer than with you. That's where I'm at. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no, what? Vision. What happens? The people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy to see. Listen what Habakkuk says. Chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain unto tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now every time, you're going to write this down. Get ready to write this down. Every time we enter God's corporate collective presence together, like we are right now, every time we come together, I want us to expect miracles to happen. Every time. I want us to start, this is what we're talking about, expectations. I want us to expect miracles to happen. I want you to write this down. It's going to be on your screen. In 2025, I will, here it goes. Number one, expect nothing less than God's glory to show up. Not performance, but God's glory to show up. Number two, expect miracles to happen. Expect miracles to happen. Number three, expect lost souls to be saved. Every time we come together, expect, number four, great deliverance. And then number five, expect an upper room experience, whether we're in one mind and one accord and the holy presence of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, the holy presence, the Spirit of the Lord filled everyone in that upper room. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I go from description to prescription? How can I make this message expectations? How can I make it count for life? Well, look what happens here. Luke 18 and verse 40. It says, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, receive thy sight. Thy faith have saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. And look what happens. And followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, what did they do? What did they do? All the people, they gave praise unto God. See what happened? They were at one moment telling them, shh, be quiet. You're just a little, shh, no. And the louder this blind man got, the louder they got. I said, no, be quiet. But now, those same people that were telling them to settle down, don't praise, they begin to praising God. The greatest evidence of a growing church are changed lives. And so I say, God, help us see. The difference between praise and performance is the posture of your heart. I think the best way to make true and pure application with this message is to allow God, right where you're at, restore our sight. Restore my sight. Restore my sight. Meaning, restore our vision. God wants to do something great. But it takes people. You know, without a vision, the people perish. But without a people, the vision perishes. And it's going to take people to get together and run with this vision. Some of you are so faithful, and I appreciate that very much. Some of you have been through hell and high water. I was thinking about Sister Robinson. Sister Jamie, I don't try to bring anything up here. And I know you know, and I know she's in heaven. We were passing by that resting place there, and I was thinking about the people this last year, thinking of Sister Robin and Sister Robinson, and you know, the people that went on before the Lord, and you know, they're there. We're still here. I say, God, restore our vision. Help us to love like it's the last day to love. Help us to rejoice and praise. Help us to be faithful. Help us to realize that, God, you've truly blessed us. Count our many blessings and not get so wrapped up in trying to impress others and carrying the burden of praying for things that we necessarily probably didn't even need in the first place and truly saying, God, I want you. I think the best way is, God, restore our vision. Look at Revelation 3. Verse 17 says, Revelation 3 and verse 17, let's stand together. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint, everybody say anoint, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that they may see. God was talking to this Laodicean church, this church that was what we call the lukewarm church. It's a dispensation for those of you that believe in the dispensation ages of the church. It is this age, this church age that we're in. We're rich and we think that we need nothing. But that's not true. We need God. Open my eyes, God, that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Restore unto me vision. Restore unto me. I don't know. There's someone here this morning, and I hear the Holy Spirit saying you're needing a job. Something about work. Is that you? Hold your hand up. I'm saying, that's me. Something about job. Something about work. All right. Tevin, is that right? Tevin, I want you to know this today. God already has that job for you. And that faith that you have, you just believe that God is going to direct you to that job that you need. God has already designed it. He's already provided. He's looking to you, Tevin, to step out and say, okay, God, I trust you. You know, that's easier said than done, isn't it, Pastor Carl? Because, see, sometimes we want to go this way. It's like a rubber band and we're being pulled. But then God says, no, 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 no. And he puts you in a total different direction. And then he lets the rubber band go. There you go flying to that job. Just know that God, he said in his words, he'll supply our need. Even before we ask and pray, he has already supplied our need. He'll take care of our need, right? But he's not all about taking care of our greed. He's going to take care of our need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here this morning. You say, Pastor JC, I'm away from God. But I want to come home. I've been eating out of the garbage cans of a fake life, a life without God. I've been wanting to do my own thing and live my own way, but I want to come home today. I want to live for the Lord. And I want to make that decision this morning. I'm not asking you to come and shake my hand. I'm not here about embarrassing anybody. If you're here this morning with an uplifted hand, say, Pastor JC, pray for me. I want to, yes, I see your hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we thank you. Heaven rejoices over even one hand that is raised. Heaven rejoices over the one, even one. Because angels have seen hell. Angels have seen what hell looks like. And the reason they rejoice is they're saying, thank God that there's one that's not going there. They're rejoicing that there's one whose name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Father. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor JC, I'm at a crossroads. I'm at a crossroads in my life. And I just need guidance and direction. And I want to make the right decisions. Hold your hand up real high. Yes, yes, yes. I need the Holy Spirit to speak to us today.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.